I had a particular attitude for about my first 22 years of life. My parents both worked full-time, my mom in a poultry processing factory, and my dad a long-distance truck driver, which meant he came home Saturday morning and left Sunday afternoon. So my mom was basically on her own raising three boys and working hard in a factory. With both my parents working, my brothers and I grew up coming home after school with no parents there. We had such a poor attitude, our characters were so poor, that we would actually wait for my mom to get home from work so she could make supper for us. We lived like it was a hotel, and my mom was the room service and housekeeping. Us boys would pop in and out of home, taking, and then leaving. When I was 19, both my brothers got married, and I was at home on my own with my mom for about 4 years until I got married at 23. And sadly, my attitude didn't change that much. I still had the entitled attitude. So I was part of a family that on a daily basis to function well needed family members to pitch in and make it work, making food, washing dishes, cleaning the house, cleaning our rooms, all these things they needed to be done. But our family didn't function in a healthy way because the three boys did not participate very well in the family. And when it was just me and my mom, I didn't help our family function very well. I was a taker. I took advantage of my mom's caring heart. Even though I was part of the family, even though I knew all those things needed to be done, even though I knew it wasn't fair to my mom, even though I loved my family, do you think I would pitch in and get involved? No. I waited till my mom got home from work, tired, waited for her to make supper, then I ate, then I left to go hang out with my friends, and left her to clean up. I did the same thing at family gatherings. Getting a little choked. This is bad stuff. This is bad stuff. When my brothers came home with their families, they would all pitch in, and I would just drop in, take what I wanted, take what they brought, and then I would leave. I was not a good family member. There was a major, major disconnect between my love for my family and me functioning as part of the family. I loved my family, I wanted to be with them, but I would not serve alongside them as they were serving me. I just received what they gave and didn't participate in giving to them. So where am I going with this? The Bible uses the analogy of family to describe those that God has saved and made his own. Ephesians 2 verse 19 tells us we are members of the household of God. Galatians 6 verse 10 calls the redeemed the household of faith. Romans 8 verse 15 says, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father." Pretty awesome stuff, hey? We get an idea of God's fatherly care for his family. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the analogy of a temple is used in speaking about the redeemed. The family of God is spoken of as God's temple. And in verse 17 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we are told that if anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. Fatherly care of the Heavenly Father, right? Don't mess with God's family. Don't mess with God's temple. Don't mess with the Father's family. You don't want to bring your sinful trouble down on us. You don't want to bring your disunity, your selfish disunity into God's family and start splitting people apart. Why? Because the Heavenly Father said he will destroy those who destroy his church family. Be warned. You think your dad was tough? You think that your buddy's dads were tough? God's tough. Don't mess with his kids. Take that to heart. It's a little bit funny. I know that that's the funny side to it, but don't mess with God's church. Verse 17, if anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. We together, we are the family of God. You by yourself, you're not a family. Edgar's not a family. I'm not the family of God. If you are saved by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, this is your family. You might not like some of us. You might find me annoying. But I'm your brother. When God saved you, he brought you into his family. Christ's death on the cross saved you from God's wrath of eternal punishment and placed you in his family. God's salvation places you in God's family, giving you a whole bunch of new brothers and sisters. God's family, the church family, is your family because you are born again, alive in Christ. So this church is a big deal. It's a big deal. Jesus came and died to bring us into this family. Now remember my attitude toward my family, this entitled, not participating in a way that helped the family function, just receiving what they were giving and not giving back. The people that Pastor John thanked this morning that were up on this stage, our children and youth teams, they do not have the attitude toward the church family that I had toward my family. They are not standing by as others do the work of serving children and youth. They are not just showing up and receiving and benefiting from what others in the church are doing. They don't have the country club mentality where you pay some of your money dues and then you be served. We can see by how they function in this family that they get what the church is, what God's family is about. As members in this family, they know they have a role to fulfill so that our family functions. They love this family. They know this family can't function if only one or two in the family are committed to serving the family. And so they pitch in to make the family a healthy and a strong family. All the people you saw up here have other responsibilities in their lives. They have jobs, they have families, projects that they're into, hobbies. They get tired, but they take upon themselves the responsibility of a well-functioning church family. And like so many others in our church family, like our music team, every Sunday they're up here. In the booth, every Sunday they're there. After church, the coffee, every Sunday they're there. Like all of those folks, they continually serve and serve and serve because they understand families, and they love this family. In fact, the head of our family, Jesus Christ, is a server. And he had said some pretty amazing things in that Matthew 20 passage. He said some things about the people in his family. It's a parable about the kingdom of heaven, God's family. What is it like? And one of the characteristics of God's family that the parable describes is the family serves the Lord, working for the Lord. It's a kingdom, a family of servants. Then after the parable, in verse 17 to 19, Jesus describes how he will go up to Jerusalem, be flogged and killed, and rise on the third day. So after describing God's family as servants, Jesus describes his own ultimate act of service, his sacrifice on the cross. And after he gave that self-description of him being a suffering servant, a mom came up to Jesus, wanting him to make sure that her two boys are on either side of Jesus in his kingdom. She wanted them to sit in seats of honor, you know, maybe second or third in command after Jesus. She didn't catch what Jesus was saying. God's family is a family of servants, with the head of the family being the ultimate suffering servant. So Jesus lays it out even clearer for the people present that he was speaking to and also for us today. Starting at Matthew 20, verse 25, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." God's family is a family of servants, being led by the head of the family, Jesus Christ, the ultimate suffering servant. This is something that is so foreign to us. It's very different than the message we are being bombarded with daily. It's foreign to us. It's foreign to our pride. And it's foreign to many in the church family as well. Servants? Serving others? The church family is not about us, about me as number one. It's not about my priority list that I prayerfully came up with. We are to put others before ourselves and serve them. We are to be a servant in this family, not a spectator. We are to receive, but not just be a recipient. Again, Jesus' example, coming to earth, not as a political conquering king, but as a servant, becoming sin, taking on our sin, not his own, because he didn't have any sin. He served us, not by giving up an evening every week at youth, or giving up a Sunday morning to serve the kids, or serving somewhere else in the church once in a while. No, he took the wrath of God upon himself for our salvation. He was crucified for us. Jesus went way beyond what he's calling every single one of us to do: serve. You're a part of the family of the serving Savior, and there are only servants in this family. Talking to Christians in Philippi, Paul said in Philippians 2, verse 3 to 4, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others." Paul said this to God's family because that is to be characteristic of God's family. So, brothers and sisters, that's not just a phrase, a cool saying that pastors are supposed to say. It's legit, right? Brothers and sisters, we are the family. We are the family of God. God saved you, and he saved me, and he brought us into this family, into his serving family. He gifted every single one of us. He has gifted us to serve together as a family, serving the family, and serving the world around us as a family. So as we consider our awesome children's team and youth ministry team that was up here and what they continually give to us, plus the many others that we see working behind the scenes in our church. Know that they get it. They understand church family, and therefore they are active and functioning so that we function in a more healthier way. And so I invite you, I invite all of us, to reject the temptation of being a 20-year-old Edgar. Reject that temptation. Multiple times, probably on a weekly, maybe even on a daily basis. Reject that. And serve in this family. Find where you're gifted. You find it out. Don't wait for people to come and ask you. Find where you're gifted. Notice a place where you could serve and go and talk to that person who's leading it and begin serving in that ministry. This is your family. If you're not serving, who's going to serve? This is us. Look at your own home. If you would sit back in your own home and do what I did and just sit back and expect mom to do everything, you'd be like, what is wrong with that kid? If you saw me doing that, you'd be, what is wrong with that guy? We're carrying that into the church family, but we don't have to. We don't have to. So consider where you could serve. Make up a new ministry, bring it to the leadership, and start serving the Lord. He has gifted you for our benefit as a church family so that we function better. So consider that. Consider that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray together. Father, this is a struggle for us because we want to do the things we want to do. We want to do things that we like to do. And a lot of times that doesn't match up with the church, what's available to do in the church. Father, forgive us. Forgive us for just taking and being blessed. Forgive us for not helping the church function in a healthy and strong way. Lord, thank you for how many people you have blessed us with who understand what serving you and serving your family is all about. Thank you that our lives are richer because we have so many good people. Thank you for blessing us, Lord. And Lord, activate us, get us going, bless us even more, Lord. You have so many gems amongst us. You have gifted all of us, and there are amazing giftedness going on here. And we look forward to you unleashing that amongst us by our brothers and sisters stepping forward and serving you. So, Father, we invite you to do what you need to do in our hearts and our minds so that we, as Calvary Baptist Church family, we mirror your word more and more, and that we live out that second line of our vision statement to be a biblically functioning church family. We rely on you for this, Lord. Please come and do it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand and make that commitment to him this morning. Take my life and let it be.